Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better.
All right, guys, welcome. It's the MI Ice Guys. Steph and Chaz here. We took a little time off the ice. We've been out there dedicated. I know I've gone through batteries, both on my flasher and my drill. I'm running those things dead because I'm chasing fish. It's been an awesome, awesome. Finally, the 2016 fishing's got here. We've been at it. So I know we met up on Reed's Lake, Steph, and we've gone a little bit up by Sand Lake, up on Englewright. Where else you been?
I've been out to Croton.
Yeah, we went to Croton that one day.
Yeah. Well, behind the driftwood and then out on the big side.
Yeah. Big side was a little depressing.
Yeah, it was a little slow over there.
But what we've heard is that different days are different deals.
Yeah. One day the bite can be just fantastic, and the next day you really got to work for them. And sometimes they just don't want to bite at all. I mean, not a lot of hook setting going on.
Yeah.
Look across that ice and look at all your bobbers out there and no swings and misses. I'm like, what's going on out here? You know, there's fish out there.
Yeah, they've been real finicky this year. And these fronts that have been coming through, bringing warm weather and bringing the rain and bringing...
a lot of pressure changes.
Yeah, it's got them really messed up. I know out on Reed's Lake, we were chasing the crappie. And they weren't in the usual spot. They'd moved over to deeper water. And we're suspecting, due to some other stories that we'll tell, that there's some big predators that... are really, really doing well in Reed's Lake.
Oh, yeah.
So for those of you with bass boats, please go out there and get some. Anybody with tip-ups, please put those things to work.
Head on out there.
Because they're getting hard on my equipment.
Yeah. Two-pound test just doesn't work so well on some of those.
Well, we were out one day, and Steph landed on his schoolie a really nice, big, old, hefty bass. What'd you think when that thing hit?
Oh, I set the hook, and I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble.
little bigger than the bluegill you were fooling with.
Yeah, I was like, I was hoping for a monster crappie, but I was like, they don't take runs like that.
And, when you finally got it through the ice, that was pretty impressive. We've got some pictures up on Facebook that you guys can take a look at on that.
Yeah, those fish were real finicky that day. I mean, one minute they'd want it dead-sticked, and the next minute they want it just... the jig just pounded, and then they would take it. It was really weird.
I've been finding that the whole last week out there. It's just been crazy. But now, I had an even wilder story. I'm out there with one of the guys. Well, your brother, your little brother, Al. We're out there, and Al didn't get many days to come fishing. So I said, yeah, I'll go fishing with you that day. We get out there, and we start pounding away at the old holes that I've been in, catching good crappie for 2 days. And I can't find that school. And then when I do find the school, it's tiny. And then I'm picking tiny crappie out of it. I mean, just little 6 and 7 inches. I mean, where's the 14s I've been laying in the bucket and touch both sides?
Mm-hmm.
I was frustrated. So I said, all right, we're abandoning the number 12 jig that's been reliable getting down in that deep water.
Yeah.
Love my white fire tiger there. And... pop that off, and I put on a Yukon jigging spoon. Now, I've had some random success with these things, and I know there at the end of the summer, I got to play with them up in the UP, and I had some good success up there just trolling them across. So I said, I'm going to put them in there and jig them right up above that school. And I'm going to get up a little higher than I have been with the jigs. This thing's big and bright. It's a glow. Great new Scandia product on the Sitka line. Jig, 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 jig. Yep, I can see the big red mark coming up on the graph. And it does the crappie lift, just like it does with the little jig. And I do the dip your tip of your pole, so you roll it back in his throat a little further, and I give him a wallop, and I hook it. And now I'm pulling the big crappie. But then the school disappears. So I'm like, I can't find the school. I mean, I'm checking every hole around. I'm drilling new holes. I'm getting tired of just running around on Reed's Lake. I'm dressed up in my big striker suit here, and it was starting to get a little warm in the suit. I had vents unzipped and everything, so I'm going to go over to the structure that I know, or the intake pipe, where a lot of guys know where it is on Reed's. And I'd been there earlier and just getting little bluegills, so I bailed on it. But I'd seen some big marks moving around. I didn't know whether they were schools or big fish. I said, I'm going to go back over there with that Yukon spoon and give it a try and see if I can do the same thing and bring something big up. So down I go, and I'm jigging away and jigging away. Sure enough, here comes something big and red coming up the graph. You know, I can just watch it migrating up through the school and the structure and everything. And it does the crappie lift. I'm like, okay. Roll it down his throat. Set that hook. I set that hook and arc that pole over to commence to reeling. And I started losing line. It was singing off there. My drag is screaming. I holler, holy blank. And Al turns around and looks at me just as the pole snaps in half.
Yep.
I whip my left hand down and I grab that line thinking, okay, maybe I can hand line this up and everything. And it was just, yeah, just that 2 pound test exploded and gone. I was glad I was wearing my Costa Del Mar sunglasses to protect my eyes because that rod, when that shattered, that fiberglass just splintered all over the place and it was gone down the hole. So I posted some pictures out on Facebook of there I am standing there with the butt of the rod and the reel in my hand, and it's broke off just right there where that little hook keeper is.
Yep.
And I said, there's a Reed's Lake sea monster out there because this thing took off like you'd hooked a nuclear submarine. I couldn't believe it. So the next time I get out there, I'm taking a walleye pole. I'm going to probably take a big noodling rod, maybe this one right here. And I'm going to stand there with some heavier test and that jigging spoon and see if I can get that monster up through that hole.
Throw some braid on.
I'm thinking that thing, yeah, I'm thinking braid and a 6-foot rod. So I got plenty of arc and a lot of eyelets, and I'm going to hold on to this thing and see if I can get that thing up through the hole because that's got to be that's a fun. Good northern.
Yeah.
Because a bass is going to whap it like a bluegill. He ain't going to lay to it like a crappie, but a northern might.
Yeah, my bass took a few little runs, but I've been out at Reed's about probably 3-4 years ago, and I had something take my jig before, and just it didn't care I was on the other end. It just kept going.
Yeah, I was expecting the way it was sounding, I was just going to see all the line go down the hole. I didn't expect that pole to break in half.
No, that'd be the last thing I'd think of.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, and it's not like I beat on my poles, so that must have been a hell of a jerk on that thing to bust that. That was pretty impressive. But we've been catching some good fish out there. Yeah. They're finicky, and you're not going to get them fast. But if you got the time and dedicate to it.
We got some real nice-sized gills out there this year, too.
Yeah. Oh, your brother slammed a nice 10-inch gill.
Mm-hmm.
That thing was a beauty, and it was tall.
Yeah.
I mean, they're tall this year. I think last year, with it being a little bit, you know, super cold and those fronts that kept coming through with the big cold, we didn't get as many fish out of there.
No, not at all.
And I know there was some construction around that area, so the boats weren't really getting in and there in the summer. So these fish are, there's big fish out there. Nobody's been harvesting them real hard. So if you get a chance, get out there and just go find where the little holes are, the 4.5 and 5 inch holes, and you'll know where the MI Ice guys have been drilling and harvesting them up. But be prepared to spend some time and work it. You may have to chase the school. I had an opportunity to speak with a gentleman out there who was really jealous about our hopper buckets. He was setting up camp. I mean, he put up his shelter. He hand-augered a hole. He got his graph out and looked around, and no fish. So he goes and moves again. He spent more time with that. And I walked right by him with a bucket in one hand and drill in the other, and just that old 28-volt Milwaukee just blasting holes.
He's like, that's the way to go right there.
If
you're hunting and trolling.
Oh, hunting crappie. It's what I call it now. You're hunting crappie. Now, I'll give you guys another little tip, and this is something Steph taught me a few years ago. When you're hunting crappie like that and you see the school start to dissipate under you, swing your deucer. Swing that transducer in the hole. Spin it around, whatever. Just so that you're looking at a wider path, and maybe you can tell what direction they're headed. And now you can run and jump out ahead of them. And it's really handy if you got two guys that can do that. Steph and I, we've played the leapfrog. And you remember that one time out on Reed's.
Oh, yeah.
There was some old guy with a lawn chair, and he had set up camp, and he was just frustrated because we kept running circles around him catching these crappie.
Oh, we were going out a couple hundred yards away from him, just chasing those things. Oh, ridiculous that one year.
When I think we're back in that season again.
But yep.
When those big predators get going. Man, oh, man. It's crazy. But as a result of me breaking a rod and everything, I came back and I restrung a lot of them with new good line because I'd had a couple other breakoffs. I said, you know,
Steph, I need the line.
Yeah, I need line. We got to upgrade a couple of these poles. That's a good piece of advice for you guys. If your line's 2-3 years old, you know, it's probably getting brittle. Now, if you've got a reel that holds a lot, just strip off 50 yards of it and you'll be fine. Get into some fresh line that's been protected from the UV and it's not all nicked up from the ice and things like that. You got to remember, you're fishing 30, 40 feet max usually.
Yeah, so you strip that off and...
Strip that off and you're on a fresh line, yep. You're probably going to be pretty good. If the whole thing looks a mess or you got a smaller reel that doesn't hold as much or you don't load them as heavy, you know, grab your cordless drill, grab one of those crappy hotel pins. I found that's the best thing. And that little cap has that little pocket clip on it and stuff. You can slide your line under there and start spinning it, and that'll hold it, and zip, you can just unload a reel real quick and clean that up. It keeps it all nice and contained so you don't have a big snarl in a pile to throw away. And please dispose of your line properly. You know, throw it in the plastic recycling or something. You don't want that stuff a mess out around.
No, a lot of critters can get caught in it.
Critters can get caught in it. People trip over it. I saw messes. I was picking up messes on the ice this week, and I'm going to talk about that in the next segment. Hey, we're going to take a real short break. We're going to take a sip of beverage. We are recording in the morning, so we're not drinking beer yet. But MI Ice Guys, we will be right back. Hey, guys. Jazz here from the MI Ice Guys. I want to talk to you about K&E Stopper Lures, especially the Scandia line of tungsten jigs. I've been having a great time fishing with these this year and last year. The new colors are awesome. Check them out. Get out there to your local sporting goods shop and look for that blue packaging with yellow text on it. Pick up a Scandia lure or 10. It's a whole lot of fun to fish with. They're bright, they're durable, and good stuff. Hey, when I'm heading out fishing, I want to grab me a couple of beers. I like to have pop top off one. And my choice is Schmoe's. Bone Crusher, Treasure Chest, Hop Knocker if you dare. Amber Teas, IPA, and Pale Ale. Grab the Brewer's Six. It'll do you well out on the ice, and you can even share with your pals. So stop by your local bottle shop and grab some Schmoe's. See you out there on the ice, guys. Drive safe. Hey, it's the MI Ice Guys, and you know, we're getting ready to go on another trip.
Ukraine, baby.
Oh, yeah. World Ice Fishing Championships. If you're a new listener, you probably haven't heard, but check out on our website that we've got some really good information on there. Maps. You know, I'm a computer geek, so I put the link so you don't have to look things up. You just click, and you'll find a lot of good information on our trip to go over and compete in the World Championships.
Did you post the rules out there and stuff too, so people can...
I don't have the rules out there, but that's a good idea. I should do that.
Just so people kind of have an idea of...
There's a lot of rules.
Yeah. You're not going out there with flashers. You can't use plastics.
Well, you can't even... You know, a lot of people ask us, well, do you bring bait? Well, if you've traveled internationally, you see the big things about agriculture. Have you been on a farm and things like that? We cannot take our own bait. We purchase bait over there. The exception to that is some ground bait. I don't know if we're going to carry that again this year.
Packaged and sealed.
Yeah, it's packaged sealed. Now, when we talk about ground bait, ground bait consists of
be ground up corn and
corn. It's meal. It's grain. It's maybe stale bread.
Spices,
things like that. There might be some seeds and things into it and stuff. But we're putting that down because European style fishing is designed to attract to the hole.
Yep, you're attracting schools of fish that you don't catch here in the States.
And when you're not using a flasher, you have to do something to bring the fish to you because using a flasher, you can go find the fish. And it's much more difficult to go find fish if you're just waiting to catch one. It's really old school as I think the Finnish guys translated it to me as being referred to as simple fishing. And, you know, even the rods we use don't have geared reels. We're hand lining the palm rods. Now, this trip, we're going over pretty early. We're going to be there a number of days ahead of time, probably before a lot of the other teams, merely because we got to practice on their fish. You know, we've been catching crappie and bluegill and perch and walleyes and northerns and stuff like that over here. Well, this is a new game.
It's a different kind of bite and generally smaller size fish, and they're eating a lot smaller baits.
Yeah, and it's a finesse sport. And if you guys haven't been out and watched the videos on Facebook and such about using the palm rods, I know there's some excellent video of Chad using them. I mean, Chad's a master of making it look
easy.
Easy and smooth. You know, for being the klutz that he is, that man looks good fishing.
Oh, yeah.
That's about the only thing he looks good doing. I've seen him look out deer hunting. He don't look good.
Whether it's steelhead fishing or ice fishing, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, that man and his wife.
The fish are in trouble.
The fish gods have blessed him with a wife that does so much to support his fishing.
Oh, yeah.
She bought him a boat.
Mm-hmm.
She bought him a quad, and not just any quad. I mean, he saw your quad, you know, a nice big four-wheel drive, 800cc Can-Am with a two-up seat.
Well, that Chad, works out pretty well.
Chad saw that. That's pretty well, but I'd like tracks on mine. Mm-hmm. So, you know, add another, what, $4,000 option on that?
At least.
$1,000 a wheel. That's game on. And
when you see them, you'll know why.
Yeah, they call it the Outlander Beast.
Mm-hmm.
And he's rescued some of the snowmobiles that get stuck. Now, that's badass right there. But we're doing a lot of prep. And, you know, Steph and I, being tacticians, we've been taking on some other duties.
Yeah.
One of our duties is mapping. Now, how are you coming on our depth tool?
Oh, very good. We're going to get out on Saturday and try it out in real life to make sure it works. You know, I took that depth counter reel, mounted it on the reel seat. So now I want to go out and
Did you use my reel seat?
It. Oh, yeah.
From my broken rod?
You got it.
Oh, man. The guys from Scandia are going to be loving that. Mm-hmm. But yes, taking depths. That's one of the things. If you listen to last year's episodes, Steph and I got our exercise. And if you look at the pictures of us, a lot of people vote. And I think the skinny guys on the team keep voting that make the two big guys walk all that distance.
Mm-hmm.
And Steph had his iPad along with him. And, you know, it did the calculations. And 20 kilometers we did that day.
Yeah, it was insane.
And all we had was one beer to split between us, and it wasn't that good of a beer.
And we found some Russians. They gave us a little milk.
So right, the Russians with the milk.
Gave us a little kickstart. And then, but as many holes as you got to drill around those zones. I mean, we're taking turns drilling, but you're drilling
hundreds of holes.
Yep, all around the zone, taking measurements so you can put that on a chart for all the guys so they know what the depths are around the zone.
Yep, and we're going to be doing a lot of that mapping stuff because
I believe it's just going to be you and I this time.
I think that Sam's decided.
So we got consistency. Yep.
We got it right. The other guys half-assed it and said, why are we doing this? So we're going to take care of that for them. We've also kind of upped our game with the radios.
Yeah, those new radios. Those are going to be awesome.
Last year, I observed the Russians and the Ukrainians had radios. During all their practice days, they were able to split up. They didn't have to stay as a group so that the coach could mother hen over them all. What they'd do is they'd split up in small groups and cover a lot of area, trying different baits and different things, but they were all able to communicate over the radio. So I convinced the team Powers to fund a little bit to get us some radios. So we are going to be traveling with 16 radios. I have programmed them all into European-friendly frequencies so that we will not be breaking laws and such like that our team delegate is all worried about. So, Sean, if you're listening, we're legal on this one. I am going to keep the frequency secret so we don't get interlopers in there too much.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're gonna make sure that we can all communicate during our practice days. And then during competition days, the spotter tacticians around the perimeter are going to be able to communicate so that the problem we ran into last year where I ran past you at four or five times.
Yeah. You say, hey, Steph, what's this guy doing over here? What's the Ukraine guy catching? What's that Mongolia guy catching?
We can communicate without running.
Because people turn their backs to you and you can't see what's going on because they know you're watching them. So if you can communicate with a spotter on the opposite side of the zone, bam, you're not going to escape our eyes with our big binoculars.
Big binoculars.
We're going to know what's going on.
Radios. Steph and I have invested in the stealth earpieces. The other guys will have earpieces. They're going to be a little more economy ones, but Steph and I decided we were going to do them. And we've even taken to the ice here in Michigan to get used to talking and wearing them and communicating with the radios on. And I advise it, and I talked about it in a couple of my recent seminars. It's handy because a lot of these lakes that we go to, you don't have the cell service.
No.
It's a big body of water. There's no place to put a cell tower.
And your hands are cold. You're trying to, you know, text on your phone or
yeah, you get your gloves
somebody.
On, and in case you got fish slime on the fancy $50 gloves that allow you to text, no, the radio is a very easy thing.
That little push-to-talk button and the striker suits are really just set up for running the cords through and everything.
Yep.
With that little inside pocket.
Now, for you guys at home, you can just grab your little FRSs that you used on a family vacation or the kids play with or you hunt with, whatever. Use those out on the lake. Just put a fresh set of batteries in them, agree on a channel. You and your buddies can communicate, and you can spread out and not have to sit, you know, on top of each other.
Until somebody gets on them and everybody can congregate and then game
then everybody
on.
Moves in.
Yep.
It's cool. Well, we leave here just in a few days. We're going to drive down to Chicago.
Yep, Thursday.
And then we are going to jump on a plane and fly to Vienna, Austria. I've never been to Vienna, Austria. From Vienna, Austria, we are going to Lviv, I believe it's pronounced.
Yeah, I think so.
And at that point, I understand that a couple of members of the Ukrainian team are going to jump on the bus with us.
Cool.
And hopefully bring a little milk.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they will.
And the couple-hour ride over to the hotel in the city there in Ternopil. Now, for those of you guys not listening carefully, it's Ternopil, T-E-R, not the glow-in-the-dark place, okay? We might use some glow jigs, but we don't catch glow fish. But once again, you can hit the map. There's a link right on MII Skies. There's also a spot where you can donate, and we are raising some funds. This is not a cheap thing to do.
No.
Flights to Europe every year, that gets on you, and the equipment that we buy. And thankfully, we've got a lot of good sponsors that are kicking in some stuff to help out us individually and also the team with the Striker suits and a lot of good wardrobe things from them.
Steger mitts.
Steger mitts. Sunline kicks in some line.
Stormy Cromers.
Stormy Cromers keeping our heads warm, Michigan style.
Yes. Yeah.
But we appreciate it if you guys support those guys. Some of the clothing items are actually for sale through our website. You can click on the links there, or you can go to usaiceteam.org and see them there as well. And you can dress and fish like we do. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back to talk about a little bit of ice etiquette and a little bit of ice safety due to the recent weather. MIIceGuys.com. Check it out. Guys, when you're out on the ice, do you protect your eyes? The MII Skies have partnered with Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Made in America, made by hand. The thinnest glass technology for sunglasses. 100% UV protection. We love our Costas so much, we took them to Finland to the worlds. They allowed us to see where other people had been drilling before, protected our eyes in the blowing snow, and kept us looking good on the ice. Made in America, Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Get them online, get them at a local retailer near you. Remember, tell them the MI Ice Guys sent you, and you need the best.
Hey, remember to stop on out to MIIceGuys.com and report the ice thickness where you're fishing. Help us all out in knowing where there's safe ice. Check out the map online at MIIceGuys.com.
It's the MI Ice Guys, and we're back from break. We were just having a chuckle about the fact that John Haggerty died. I think it was John Haggerty, wasn't it? Haggerty.
Dan, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, Grizzly Adams. Everybody remembers Grizzly Adams from when you were a kid. Steph's hair's growing out. His beard's getting a little longer. We're wondering if he's going in for the remake. Maybe it'd be Grizzly Adams on ice. But maybe we'll call you Pike Adams or something. Who knows? But ice etiquette.
Yes.
I want to touch on that a little bit because I'm getting a little tired of picking up after people out on the ice.
Oh, yeah.
I read an interview with a conservation officer, and he says that fishermen are like the worst for leaving messes. Hunters are great, he says, but fishermen are leaving messes. Well, it's real easy to see out on the ice. I mean, I'm picking up covers for coffee cups, you know, the disposable McDonald's or Big B cups and such like that.
Pop cans.
Pop cans go blowing by us on Mm-hmm. Where were we? Croton. And Croton. It just went flying by us.
So I couldn't catch the one. It's like, it's gone.
Yeah. I mean, I'm coming back with a bucket of fish, but on top of it's garbage.
Yeah.
That I'm, you know, line.
Chip bags, line, bait containers.
And one of the grossest things I think out there is cigarette butts.
Yeah.
Guys, take a page out of the military, guys. Now, I have a number of friends that are veterans. And especially the Air Force guys are very, very meticulous about this because they can't have any debris out on the runway.
Mm-hmm.
It gets sucked into an engine, it's a problem. So they have a tradition where they do what's called field stripping. After they're done smoking, they knock all the extra tobacco and anything burning out of it. And the little filter, I mean, that part that everybody sees,
mm-hmm.
They throw it in a pocket or a pant cuff. Or I knew one guy, he used to throw them up in the top of his hat until he got by a trash can. He could throw them away.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, do us a favor and, you know, kind of keep that in mind because those things are going to melt and end up in the lake. And that stuff just can't be good for anything. I know that when I scuba dive out in Lake Michigan, you see cigarette butts rolling around on the bottom. It's gross. I don't care if you smoke. But if you're going to smoke, please just, you know, be a little friendly about it. Here at the brewery, we yell at them in the beer garden that people throw butts on the ground. It makes it look trashy.
Mm-hmm.
I go out on the ice to enjoy the outdoors and the scenery. One of the best things about ice fishing is that it's all usually very white and clean, and it's nice. Let's do our part to keep it that way. Now, a couple other ice etiquette things. Distance.
Yeah. When you're approaching other anglers and stuff, you kind of got to get a feel for, you know, their attitude, you know, too. If they're real talkative and they're chit-chatting, you know, determines how close you want to fish to them or can fish to them. And because if they're on a school or something, you're obviously going to want to be pretty close to them to be on that same school. But, you know, talk to them. And
well, I know that during early ice, one of the things that I talk about in the seminars is give them some distance because, you know, you and I have been out on there and we're big guys. We go out there. That ice starts to bow. You put through 200-300-pound men standing near each other out on thin ice, it's going to bow. Oh, and yeah. Your little brother Dale is notoriously just freakishly scared of going through.
Mm-hmm.
And he will panic and leave the area if you get too close to him.
He'll get up and move, run.
I always suggest that you observe, just like we do in the Worlds, just like they do in AIFC tournaments.
Yeah, that
5-meter rule.
Yeah, that 5-meter
15, 16 feet.
Yeah.
It gives you some courtesy. Another piece of courtesy, like you were mentioning about, you know, getting a grip on the guys, shanties. If they're all zipped up in a shanty, don't just walk right up and bang on the shanty. You know, you can holler, hey there in the frable or hey there in the clam.
You got, you know.
You know, how's it going in there? That thing's got thin walls. They hear you walking all around. But
oh, yeah.
A lot of times they're zipped up to do some sight fishing and it's dark in there. You scared the crap out of those guys. And I will mention, we are in an open carry state, so they may feel a little threatened. So be nice out on the ice. Clean up after yourself. Just, you know, protect the environment that we have. You know, you want to pass it on to the next generation and teach your kids the same thing.
Yeah. You see kids out there on the ice and you get on them and you're catching them. I'm always inviting them over with their father or whoever's out there with them and come on over here, and I'll show you what I'm doing to catch them because they're not catching them or something. I can show them what I'm doing.
And they always want to see the fish.
Give them some jigs. They always want to see the fish in the bucket that you got already.
Oh, they're all excited about those fish.
And they're even more excited when they get to hook into one and reel it in.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. Big smile on their face. They're all excited. It's a good time.
But, even when the kids get, you know, if the kids get bored of just sitting still and they want to run around and stuff, make a game out of picking up the trash. You know, teach them good sportsmanship, good husbandry of the outdoors. It's going to carry through their lives. And when they grow up, hopefully there'll be guys like us that, you know, are the ones picking up after other people. It's just nice to do. So anything that you bring out on the ice, make sure you bring it back.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave problem.
And then some like we do, just being good stewards. If we got extra trash and stuff out there and stuff, we're going to grab it. And like you said,
unless it's blowing at 60 miles an hour across Croton.
I don't got the quad to catch it.
Oh, my God. But, you know, it is our state, and if we've got to protect it because nobody else is going to.
Yep.
So, well, we just wanted to talk a little bit about that. Another thing I'd like to touch on in this segment is ice thickness. We've had a lot of rain here in Lower Michigan.
Yeah, past couple of days. We got a couple inches of rain in some spots.
Yeah, and it's been kind of warm. We're back to early ice rules of checking
that ice really good, especially south of Grand Rapids. Really check it well.
We heard the sad story about the father and son that drowned over by Detroit. We're back at the beginning, man. You got to be checking it. If you took the picks out of your jacket, put them back. If you took the PFD out or you're not wearing the floating suit, let's get back to that for a little while. The forecast does have some single digits. We were looking on the internet.
Yeah, the 10-day forecast looks fantastic. I mean, things are going to lock right back down here in another week.
So this weekend, if you know, Super Bowl weekend, if you're going to head out and do some fishing, maybe you got to go north of town. And don't take so much equipment. Go back to your having the good safety and rescue gear with you. And just be smart about it, because we don't want to lose anybody over here on our side of the state.
Nope.
You know, especially listeners, you're under our tutelage. You've been lectured on this.
Numerous times.
Been to our seminars. You've seen us with our floating suits. I think floating suits, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I think the floating suit is going to become the norm of all suits.
Of all ice fishing suits, yes.
You know, it's insulated material, and I don't think it costs that much more to build that in.
No.
So I think we're going to see that everywhere.
I think they're going to increase in popularity.
And if you guys haven't made the investment in one of those suits, I was looking on Cabela's, and they're already putting them on fire sale.
Yeah, end of season. Everything's on sale right now.
Especially if you go online. And you can either do the order and have it delivered to the store or have it shipped right to your house and stuff. There's a lot of availability out there from all over the ice belt.
Yeah, check the bargain caves, too.
Bargain caves on Cabela's, Gander, Thorn Brothers. There's a lot of great sites out there that have ice fishing equipment. They're looking to unload it because they're already bringing in inventory for spring fishing.
You got it. And that's your opportunity.
It's kind of like the Christmas candy coming out in September kind of thing. Yeah, the retailers want to be ahead of the game, so they're going to unload, and you can find some real deals. So if you haven't spent all that money you got in your sock at Christmas, it might be a really good thing, because Carhartts don't float. And they're not as water resistant. And most of them don't have the knee pads.
Nope.
And all the pockets. The zippers. So your ice equipment doesn't fall out. Your jigs and plastics and wonderful things.
All little D-rings for attaching your forceps to your fish counter.
Well, guys, I'd like you to take another look at miiceguys.com and use our ice map. We're, like I said, right back at the beginning.
It's important to get some thicknesses out there.
We need some thicknesses. We need some data from you, the listeners. It doesn't take much. And if you scroll down to the bottom of that page, there are actually links for mobile. And if you save those links onto your smartphone, you can use those wherever you're at. Pop it in right while you're fishing, and everybody's going to know that area's got some safe ice. So if they do want to take the kids out, they can have some fun with that. We're the MI Ice Guys, and we're going to be right back with our last segment to kind of wrap this thing up today. Pop over to the website. Make sure you get in that ice thickness. We'll be right back. Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey guys, you got a picture of your good catch? Maybe that big whopper crappie barely fit through the hole? Whatever it is, everybody loves seeing a good ice fishing picture. So feel free to upload those to the MI Ice Guys Facebook page. You can find us facebook.com/MI Ice Guys. Hoping to see you some big ones. Hey guys, we got a special treat. We've got Anthony on the Ice Guy line here. We dialed him in. He's been out doing the tournament trail. Anthony, how's it been, man?
Oh, man, it's been an awesome ride. We've been on the road for about 30, 35 days, and it's been a lot of fun ice fishing across the country, competing against some of the country's best fishermen.
Cool. Now, you've been able to meet most of the new members of USA Ice as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We keep in contact, and even amongst the tournaments, we kind of have a closer bond than some of the other, you know what I mean, some of the other guys that we don't know as well, just because we share, you know, the USA Ice team. And it's definitely a team, that's for sure.
Well, we've been digging the pictures and the stories on Facebook that you guys have been sharing, both publicly and privately. It's been a lot of fun for us. And here back in Michigan, we've got some ice. And now that you're home, was the wife happy to see you?
Oh, the wife was extremely happy to see me. The puppies, they remembered who I am. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good deal altogether there. But so you had a couple of hard days and you had some really good days out there. What was your favorite tournament?
Oh, my favorite tournament right now would probably have to be Mitigoshi and Lake Mitigoshi in North Dakota. To start the day's temperature, it was like negative 15, negative 20, something like that. But I don't remember not sweating the entire time we were fishing.
Doing a little hustle?
Yeah, my favorite part of that tournament was when we dumped the bucket out to weigh the biggest and the smallest, and I just looking at the biggest bluegills I've ever seen in my life, and 16 of them all laying right there in our bucket. Right. It was crazy.
I saw some pictures, and they looked like the size of dinner plates.
Oh, they were huge, Chaz. It's ridiculous the size of the bluegills that Lake Mitigoshi puts out.
Man.
I mean, we had six that were, four that were definitely over a pound and six that were flirting with it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I mean, 14.14 pounds and the 16 bluegills, that's a beast.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
You guys have had some other good days out there. I saw you were a top 10 a couple other times.
Yeah. The Alma tournament on the Mississippi backwaters was really fun. It was a little frustrating free fishing. Everybody was talking about these pound and a half, 2 pound crappies, and everybody could get 16 of them. Well, you know, come tournament day, we ended up catching the biggest fish we had seen all week, which is always the best day to catch them, in my opinion.
Yep. Yeah.
And it was good enough for a third, but if we could have upgraded a little bit, we'd have done a little better.
Yeah. Well, at least you're bringing home some wood.
Yes.
You know, Montana was amazing. I recommend that to anybody.
Oh, the scenery out there was unbelievable. Beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. Sometimes it's how you're like, oh, yeah, I'm fishing.
Look around. It's like, oh, yeah.
The way those trout pull is definitely unforgettable.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, our buddy Chad, he's out pre-fishing for the championship.
Yeah. Chad, he's pre-fishing with the championship. He's fishing the championship with Jake this year. They finished better than we did overall, and they wanted to fish the championship. So that's what they're going to do.
Cool. Now they're going to
hopefully they bring home the wood for Michigan, because I can't make it out there.
Yeah.
Heck yes.
Well, it'll give you a little extra time maybe to fish with us.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
We got to reteach you Michigan ice fishing.
Yeah, I was actually debating on going out today, maybe trying.
Well, if you get a chance, we were talking, go get a ice thickness for us over on Farmers. Because we're talking maybe that might be our angle in the morning. But, well, it's good to talk to you, and I'm going to try and hook up with Chad on the phone as well, and maybe we'll get to fish together this weekend.
He's out there grinding pre-fishing, so he's going to be tough to get a hold of.
Well, I'll catch him after dark.
Definitely, let's go fishing this weekend.
Right on, man, and thanks for taking the time.
All right, we'll be in touch with you, bud.
All right, that was Anthony Rodriguez. He's one of our top guys out on USA Ice. Last year, he really shined on day one. Frustrating day two, but...
Everybody was frustrated day two. So.
Day two was horrible.
There's no lack of frustration from anybody on that day.
Yeah.
But so, day one, it was cloud nine. Our whole team was
we were
up and rump ready, yeah.
And we did everything right. We went to bed early. We didn't go drinking that night.
Oh, yeah. Everything's...
We were ready. They moved us. Put us on a different area.
Yeah, it was a whole different zones. And in Finland, they didn't use the same five zones. They had 10 zones. So you had different zones on every day.
Yeah, and so that kind of killed us. So we were on this year, we're purportedly going to be on the same five zones for 2 days. So day two, we should be able to do better because we'll have some knowledge about actually fishing in the zones.
Yeah, what was caught on the zone on day one, it's going to play a critical part on what happens on day two.
Yeah, we're going to have to be on our game, taking some notes on that and working with the other tacticians to do it as well. Well, we're the MI Ice guys, and we will check you later.
All right.
Hey, if you want to be part of the team, I mean one of those supporters that really, really wants to help out USA Ice, you can follow us on usaiceteam.org or on miiceguys.com. Or if you like Facebook and like seeing the pictures, check out both of those, USA Ice Team and MI Ice Guys, on Facebook. Real easy to find. If you can type and spell it right, you're in the money. We also could use some support, and if you feel it in your heart to make a donation, both of those places will accept donations or buy some merch, and you can wear the same gear that we're wearing in Ukraine this year. Stay tuned online. Not sure we're going to get another Ice Guys episode in before we leave. Maybe we'll be able to upload something from over there. Depends on their internet. It's Eastern Europe. We never know. Well, guys, sayonara. We'll talk to you later. We're going to have fun in Ukraine.
MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on miiceguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys. Enjoy the fishing. And may thaw soon.